Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson for Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Mr. Black.
No, I'm just kidding. Mr. Black isn't here. Scotty Hertz, however, isn't here as well. Unfortunately, he will be joining us late. He may be listening stuck in traffic somewhere on the outskirts of Guelph, waiting patiently for the convergence to be made. Or I don't know traffic, so you're going to get a lot of the stream of consciousness thought till he gets here because, well, frankly, I'm not used to talking to myself on the radio. I'm used to talking to myself other places, but it's going to be interesting the next 15 minutes, if we're lucky. I'm going to say 2025. You know what? Tweet me with your over-under of when Scotty might get here in 15 minutes. At Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter. You know, let me know what how late you think Scotty might be. Might be interesting. Anywho, Open Source is a CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen. And you can also listen to us anytime by going to Podbean and finding the Guelph Politico, Politicast, that is, channel. And you can get the weekly Open Sources podcast version of this show, and you can subscribe on iTunes as well. Today, we, and I may be meaning I, will talk about the trouble right here in Guelph, a new memorial on the grounds of the Basilica of Our Lady, called the Garden of Grace, which according to the memo is meant to be a place of quiet reflection for women that have suffered miscarriages or had an abortion. But what could possibly go wrong with putting such a thing next to Guelph's biggest tourist attraction? And then we will have, I will actually have someone in studio in case Scotty is super late for the back half of the show, Marty Williams. He is the Downtown Guelph Business Association Executive Director, and we'll be talking about all the things going on downtown not related to memorials on church ground. There's parking issues, busy storefronts, all kinds of events, large and small, and we're going to talk to Williams about all that, why it's so great to go downtown, and maybe why there might be some issues coming up in the future revolving around construction, that kind of thing. But first, we got to talk about this guy. This guy meaning Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. He was caught on tape. This is where, you know, maybe only listening to this show for your news is an advantage because you don't have to deal with this for the past 6 days. But last Friday, there was a tape that was leaked to the Washington Times from the studios of NBC Universal, a 2005 segment featuring Donald Trump on Access Hollywood with Access Hollywood co-host Billy Bush. And yes, he is one of those Bushes, by the way. He is the, I want to say, cousin of Jeb Bush and George W. Bush. He may be a nephew, but I think cousin is right. Anyway, to the matter at hand, Donald Trump was caught on tape saying a number of horrendous things, not so vague indications that perhaps he has sexually assaulted women in the past. The famous line about how he just goes grabbing for their, well, let's just say areas that are covered only by a swimsuit. And he spoke quite candidly about that, talked about using Tic Tacs beforehand in case he just automatically starts kissing a woman because he's just attracted to beautiful, which I don't think is grammatically correct, even outside the disgusting factor. So this is what happened on Friday. Far from a typical, you know, Friday where people are trying to take out the trash, because Friday was trash. Sorry, I kind of had a moment there as I was trying to connect the metaphor. Anyway, it was all hell broke loose. And what made matters worse, if they could possibly get worse, was that Donald Trump was to participate in the second presidential nominee. It was a presidential debate that was on Sunday night. Republicans started abandoning ship. Even the surrogates. And I was watching the coverage Friday on CNN. And typically, Trump's surrogates are a happy-go-lucky bunch who just love being on TV and saying horrid things about, Hillary Clinton while glossing over the terrible reputation of their boss. And things weren't so funny on Friday night, it seemed. It was quite demure. It was quite fascinating by comparison to see people like Kayleigh McEnery, Scotty Nell Hughes, I can't remember the South Carolina guy's name off the top of my head, but it wasn't fun for them. And I can't imagine it's gotten any more fun. What seems to be happening, and I'll get into the latest news in a bit, but on the debate night, Donald Trump preceded it with a Facebook Live event where he trotted out four of Bill Clinton's accusers, because I guess we are past the point now where we expect candidates to do better in the behavior category than their predecessors. No, as long as we're not going lower, I guess, is the bar we're setting. I traded barbs with somebody on Twitter who's, when we were joking about just how low the bar was now, and the final analysis was that it was subterranean. The bar is subterranean. So to bring this up to recent events, last night, perhaps it was yesterday afternoon, but I was reading it last night, the New York Times published a piece with two women who accused Donald Trump of sexual misconduct. In one instance, he was groping a woman. This was in the 70s in the first class section of a plane. It was in the 70s, and the woman compared his handsiness akin to an octopus. So if you thought Trump couldn't get any slimier, he's been officially compared to an octopus. And then the second woman worked for a company that was working with the Trump company in the aughts. It was 2005. So, I mean, these are two allegations that span 30 years. And you have to wonder if there are two women 30 years apart who are coming out and talking about Trump and his proclivity, it seems, for sexual assault. How many more are there? And it turns out there's at least two more. There's a woman from People magazine who has come out and said that while she was doing a segment with Donald Trump, an interview with Donald Trump at his Florida compound, Mar-a-Lago, this was during when his wife was very, very pregnant, by the way. She assaulted him, or he assaulted her, I should say. And since Scotty is here and I can stop talking.
Of course
talking.
I'm here. Why wouldn't I be here? Of course I'm here.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
Me too.
I'm almost out of steam here. But I'll let you, Kat, take a breath for a minute while I finish the story. Yeah, so there's been four women who have come forward. And, of course, when you have four women, your mind immediately starts going, well, how many women? Because this is kind of exactly what happened to Cosby. Cosby, you know, there were tricks and drabs over the years of allegations, and it never went anywhere. It never went to court. It was never contested in a court of law. There seemed to have been some settlements. I'm talking about in the Cosby case. But, I mean, this is how it starts, is you get one, you get two, you get four. How many is it going to be tomorrow?
Definitely full Cosby at this point. It could
full
be
Cosby.
Well, yeah, because some of the talk has been, well, why is it taking so long for this to come out? As we've seen with Bill Cosby, the situation is exactly the same. As we'll see, probably in all of these circumstances, I think one of the incident on the plane goes back 30 years, maybe.
Yeah, 70s.
So of course, a woman on the radio on my way in, sitting in traffic. We have to do a whole show about how much I hate the 401. Anyway, and she said, oh, yes, I've just voted for Trump. And she's doing the whole, oh, it was so long ago. It's the same with the comments about the grabbing. It's like, oh, it was so long ago. Like 2005 is not that long ago.
No.
So I don't think there's been a sea change in the guy's behavior since then. I don't think it should surprise anyone because it seems to be very easy for them to go back in time into the files. And these were shows that were broadcast, whether it's stuff on the radio or his TV show, and I guess the things...
I didn't mention this stuff from Stern.
Yes, Stern stuff is dripping and drabbing out. Of course, somebody's going to have it on tape somewhere. I don't know if it's... It's probably not Stern that's releasing it. It's just independent, whoever, somebody's got it on.
Well, I don't know if they do podcast versions of Stern's show, but I mean, that seems like something that would... people would do. They've got to have tapes of his. I mean, especially in this day and age. I mean, most radio shows do have like a podcast like we do. Yeah, the Stern stuff where he let Stern call his eldest daughter Ivanka a piece of
Things we can't say at 5 o'clock.
Things I don't want to say.
Yes.
Especially in relation to a person's daughter. So and then there was an incident that was put online yesterday about a Stern tape of when Trump and his wife, his present wife, Melania, were on the show, and Stern is getting him going, like, well, what if, like, she's in a horrible accident and her face is disfigured, and Trump's like, what about her body? And you're just like, what? I mean, I realize it's the Stern show, but I mean, between that, the other things, and then he was at a rally today and he was saying about the People magazine accuser that is like, why would I, do that to her? Emphasis on the she's not beautiful enough for me to sexually harass kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very clear that there's a pattern that from his comments on the Access Hollywood tape that's like he only sees women one way.
And like his comments about Carly Fiorino.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So he has the Trump standard. I mean, I'm sure there's been no other candidate for president or probably a lot of positions in the States where they've owned beauty pageants. Like, I didn't even realize that was a thing, but you think, okay, somebody has to own the pageant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's the guy waltzing into the change rooms, which seems to have come out, which he also spoke about on the Stern Show.
Yes. So. And then there was a tape. I can't remember who dug it up, but there's like 10-year-old girls at Trump Tower, and he's talking to them, and he turns to the camera and says, you know, in 12 years, I'll be dating her.
And everybody goes, ha ha,
yes!
So funny, but not seeing through what's actually going on. Yeah, because at the rate he's going now, there's like two or three women in the States might vote for him, and other than the woman that's on the radio one on my way in. Melania, Ivanka, what's her name? Scotty Nell Hughes.
Yeah, well, there's a bit more than three.
Your average baddie Trump supporter who says, he's a messenger of God, which was another one I heard. It's like, he's a messenger of God. It's like, so that's, he's a messenger of God. Really? Really?
Maybe one of the Greek gods.
Yes.
But
and by the way, Hillary Clinton. There you go. We've talked about, well, you have.
I haven't gotten to Hillary Clinton.
You haven't
gotten
to Hillary
yet.
Clinton yet.
No,
by the way, Hillary Clinton.
But before
she's
leave.
She's the other one. Yeah.
She's also running.
She's
in
also
election.
Running. Yeah. That's say a word for Hillary. Yeah.
Yeah. Before leaving Trump, though, I got to say, like, the most disturbing thing about all this is it just seems the lack of understanding or the purposeful attempt to not acknowledge the full extent of what's going on. And that was clear at the debate when Anderson Cooper says, you realize what you were describing here was sexual assault. And Trump's like, no, it wasn't. So he's and I'm sorry.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
Sorry, Trump. The Justice Department agrees with Cooper on this. And he's either willfully ignoring the obvious, or he's being ignorant because, you know, you can't be running for president of the United States and admit that you were joking, that you were caught on tape joking about sexually assaulting a woman.
I think he's just being Trump, you know?
Oh, shades definitely.
I think of Rob Ford when I hear him speak, not specifically, but in that realm of, oh, he just says this outrageous stuff, but he's the mayor anyway, and we, you know. It's along those lines. I think at one point, didn't Doug Ford come up and say, yeah, Trump stole all of Rob's best ideas?
And I think so.
And it sounds like all the worst ideas. I don't know if Donald is on
Lordy.
Anything, but right away, it's like, your people should be telling you, dude, you know, the sniff has got to go. What's going on there?
I don't know what it is at debate.
If he has a sinus problem, you'd say, okay, the guy's got a sinus problem. Carrie Fisher. Come out and said, no, it ain't the sinuses.
And, well, she would
She's
know.
She's speaking from experience.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It comes out in the debates. And I don't know if, like, when it's at the rallies, it's not particularly noticeable because of all the noise and all the cheering and stuff. But
yeah,
it just seems bizarre to me.
After round one, you'd say, look, you know,
we got to do something about this.
Like, yeah, you know, by the way, when you think you feel that coming on, Donald, pull the mic away, right?
Yeah, if you got a deviated system, a deviated symptom, we should send you to like a nose doctor just so like when
ream it out.
During debates two and three, it doesn't sound like you're trying to hork a loogie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the consent thing is what really gets me because Rush Limbaugh was on today, saying that. Oh, liberals! You can do anything as long as you have consent. But you know, as soon as you don't have consent, you call the rape police, and it's just like you don't understand what that word means, do you?
Did you see the Alex Jones meltdown?
Oh, that's which one?
Well, no, the most recent one that was sort of spliced up a bit, where he's crying. It's fairly scary. Just put in Alex Jones meltdown, folks.
Infowars.com.
Yes. I didn't want to say his website name, but...
Well, that's what
don't forget about OpenSocialGulf.com.
That's what he does. Oh, yes. InfoWars.com. Yeah, I mean, there screaming. Was the...
She's a demon!
Oh, here. Hillary and Obama. You could smell the sulfur! Here,
we'll talk about Hillary.
She's a demon! It's... Oh, my goodness.
Smell, and then what? Obama pulled one, like he smelled himself? He said, I don't know.
Oh, that's Mr. Cool. Yeah. That's Mr. Cool. He's, I mean, we'll he's kind of loving it. This, right? Because yeah. he's got nowhere to...
Just watching it
nothing
spiral
to do
into
now,
the,
so,
the
I mean,
ditch. It's well beyond the ditch now. I think we're in the cesspool.
And 538, which is kind of the American equivalent of 308, has said that Arizona is in play.
Ah.
Arizona. Where Trump should be kicking all kinds of
yes.
butt because
even if
of the
it's 51%,
wall thing. Yeah, but I mean, it's in play. Hillary has it in play along with Georgia, Missouri, Utah, places that were red, 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 red.
This could be the biggest sweep since the beginning by the looks of it. So, as I said, by the way, Hillary Clinton, there you go.
But I wanted to point out two more things now, you know, before we move on. One of them is the hashtag repeal the 19th, which is something that was going around yesterday after Eric Trump, or should I say Uday Trump, said Sorry. That...
he has a gold toilet.
538, well, I bet you $5 he does. 538 put out this map that showed that Trump would win with 300 electoral college votes. If it was only men voting. So all of a sudden, all this is going
half
around with all the terrible, you know, white nationalist people is hashtag repeal the 19th. The 19th Amendment, of course, allowed women to vote. And then there was another one today, another hashtag. I had it on my computer.
There's fresh hashtags daily.
Hashtag next fake Trump victim. So they're already victim shaming.
Hmm.
Even, you know, there's been four so far, and now they're victim shaming. Who's the next Trump victim? Infowars.com. Anyway. So they're
OpenSources.com.
We should throw that.
We're just
in.
Just red as lobsters.
Yeah. Cam Guthrie smells like sulfur. Just kidding. We're hoping to have Cam on the show again soon. We don't think he smells like sulfur. He's a very pleasant
he's
man.
He's listening. He might be going, I don't
he's
know.
He's like, wait a minute.
I don't know about those clowns. Creepy or otherwise. Oh,
OpenSourcesGuelph.com. Anyway, another contentious issue. You've probably been paying attention to the news, or at least the local news, which is not completely sad. The Guelph and Area Right to Life, which is an anti-abortion group, has given $91,000 to build this thing called Garden of Grace on the land of the church. I always say Church of Our Lady, but it's the Basilica of Our Lady now. It got
to the town. He's the Church of Our
Lady. It got a promotion.
Like, yeah, it's
yeah.
The big church on the hill. Folks.
they're on Catholic Hill. It's $91,000, and it's a place that is meant for women to grieve. The loss of a miscarriage or their choice to get an abortion. Now, that kind of sounds harmless, but this is where kind of the politics come into play. I think a lot of people have automatically assumed, just given Guelph Right to Life's
track record,
let's call it track record, that. This is a more political play. I mean, they can't really do anything about the abortion issue. This is one of those things. This is where kind of Canada is separated from the United States. And as soon as we settle a social issue, it is settled. When it becomes, you know, the law of the land, it's etched in stone. We're done. We're moving on to the next thing. Guelph Right to Life isn't letting it go. There was a fairly large demonstration on Friday on Norfolk Street.
And you were there? Did you make it?
I was there, yes. As was the Rob O'Flanagan from the Today and Cresito from the Tribune. The three of us. There was a young lady from the Ontarian there as well. I did not get her name, but it is on the front cover of the Ontarian. So if you're wandering around campus, you can check that out. But yeah, I don't know. It's like it seems harmless enough. The idea of it. I mean, you can mock the artistry involved, and certainly people at the protest did and mock the artistry of it, which is it's two statues, it's a figure eight, and then there's going to be two statues placed. They're not there yet, but one is a bronze Jesus carrying a baby, and the other is a weeping angel crying over an empty cradle. It's Catholic Hill, and yeah, it's private property. The property is owned by the Diocese of Hamilton, but as a couple of people pointed out, we're talking about Guelph's largest tourist attraction. And also, I should add, something that public money is invested in. It's a Canadian Heritage Site, which means public money. The city of Guelph puts money into maintaining the grounds. The Guelph Civic... I'm sorry, you were waiting to jump in. The Guelph Civic Museum is also on the other side of the grounds. So this is like... Yeah, it's a private space, but it's also a very public private space.
Adam said public money and watched the vein pop out of my head, as it would for any, you know, fiscally responsible person. Yeah, I thought it looked like the protesters played it pretty cool. They went nowhere near or up the stairs. I'm not even sure where on the grounds it is. I haven't been by there, but obviously within view of, well, it's hard to miss the Basilica of the Church of Our Lady. And I'm not even of two minds of this. I mean, I know they have every right to put the guard in there. It was private money. If there was any public money involved, I think there would be a greater outcry than what we saw. And that's aside from the abortion issue, which is obviously still massive. But I mean, every time I've heard Jackie Jeff speak about this, she says the mums and dads. She talks about the mums and dads and how they're mourning their children. Now, as far as everything goes, be it science or the law, as far as I understand it, they're not children yet.
No.
Right? So, and we could debate that till we're blue in the face. I'm sure we could have a whole show on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the slogan, I guess, of the garden is, I knew you in the womb. I knew you in the womb. Presumably this is God knows somebody in the womb. That in itself, I believe, is a misquote. I think it was directed at Jeremiah specifically. Not everything in the womb, right? So... it's all about context in this respect, right? So is it, when you take things out of context, we get things like circumcision, suicide bombers, abortionists shot in their living rooms, all in the name of faith, right?
Right.
So, and everybody has their quotes that they like. And one of my favorites is the one about, I think it's in the book of Luke, about giving, you know, if you have one coat or if you have two coats, give one to somebody who doesn't deserve one. That's completely paraphrased. I'm sure somebody who knows their book can get back to me on that one. But... you know, there's probably way more in the Bible about, you know, helping the neighbors, regardless of their faith or their whatever they've done to themselves or not done to themselves, than this topic. And in fact, if I've got it right, I mean, I may get some hate tweets on this, and that's okay, that abortion doesn't make an appearance in the Bible. All of that aside, as far as the Catholic Church goes and the followers and the right to life, they are anti-abortion. The rest are pro-choice. And the argument that'll be made is like, well, you didn't... you know, this is... the argument I saw subsequent to the vandalism, which hasn't been... nobody has been convicted of yet, or there's been no one hauled in. They cannot prove that it was any of the protesters. They went right after the protesters and said, there, see what you've done to our right to choose? And they tend to use the word choice just selectively when it's going against people who are pro-choice or pro... let's say pro-women's productive rights. It's always about, well, what did you do about our choice? Right. And this is the balancing act, because they have a constitutional right to the freedom of expression. Right. Mm-hmm. They're well within the rights to put this guard in there. Also, the protesters are well within their rights. And I thought they did an excellent job of showing dissent. So I wouldn't condone the vandalism that went on. I don't think that accomplishes anything.
No.
But of course, once something like that happens and you've drawn the heat score on the place, that it's going to be prolific. They can put cameras up, put whatever, because you can cut through there. When I lived on Dublin Street, I've cut through. I didn't even realize it was private property. It's just you're walking through the churchyard going home, right?
It's pretty open, yeah.
It's pretty open. So it's, you know, it's going to be contentious, and I think it's not going to end with everything that happened over the past weekend or few days.
Well, the problem with... I think you're right. The vandalism doesn't solve anything, although condom, not condemn, was pretty clever.
Mm-hmm. And throwing condoms around isn't really vandalism. It's more like littering, right? But it's littering. it's littering. Well,
welcome to the...
Welcome to
Guelph Legal Hour. No, that's fair. And yeah, the spray painting, yeah, that's... you know, don't spray paint. I mean, what's interesting...
At least don't spray paint on that. There are places in town where you can spray paint, right? But...
are there?
Sure. Well, look at that graffiti, or not graffiti, they got rid of the graffiti along the tracks there, that long stretch.
Oh,
of, it's
right,
now
right, right.
Some kind of mystery tartan. It's not the Guelph tartan, but anyway.
But anyway, that's off topic.
call the lawyer. We need a lawyer.
But yeah, apparently, and I got this from, I think it was the Today article on the vandalism. Jackie Jeff said there was about half a dozen people who went and took selfies at the memorial, and so they called the police, and it's like, I'm sure the police
called the police on people taking selfies? And
apparently.
Jackie Jeff is going to just have to stake out there and police the place, because...
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe she'll get a little booth or something. Toll booth.
So there was that, and then... She told this organization, LifeSite, which is a anti-abortion website that does quote-unquote news.
I know, they're pro-life. Didn't you know they're pro-life?
Yeah, that the organizers of the protest need to take responsibility for the vandalism. Come on.
Speaking of legal rights and choice and whatnot, it's like you need to prove that. It could have
exactly.
been anybody. How many? 120 plus thousand people in town now?
I know from
23,000 students?
That working at a hotel on a busy intersection where there was a ton of election signs, you know, walking past a window at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and seeing all the election signs standing up, and then walking past the same window at 2 o'clock in the morning and they're all knocked down. Nobody cares about politics.
Yeah, for all the construction site stuff that ends up in the river, it's just because.
Exactly.
Because we can.
Because we can, yeah.
Oh, no, but it was targeted. Well, I guess it was targeted. But.
What's fascinating to me is, and this was a point made by a couple of the people at the protest, was that miscarriage and abortion are two entirely different things. One is, you know, an accident, you know, or it's like an act
one
of God.
One is an act
thing.
Of God.
Yeah. And the other is a choice. And they're two entirely different experiences, and it happened to women for two entirely different reasons. One is natural, one is a choice. It, you know, it goes on and on and on. So it seems like they wanted to have the anti-abortion garden. But. That would be too blatant, so they've, you know, conflated it with the miscarriages and the abortion. And
so the mums and dads have somewhere to grieve.
Exactly. And the other thing somebody else pointed out is, like, it's kind of an odd place for, like, a quiet memorial, because it's kind of right on the corner there, where, like, it's above Norfolk Street there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, at one of the busiest streets, between two of the busiest intersections in town. It's not exactly a place of peace and reflection. Because it's a very fairly busy area, and I suppose you could argue the same point about the Woodlawn Cemetery, because there are a lot of graves along in the Woolwich Woodlawn corner.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel like it's that kind of place, right? It's
a place of reverence, I guess.
And again, it's a tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The city sells the basilica as a tourist attraction. Last summer, they had this thing where they created this little island in the middle of. McDonald Street, so
yep.
You can get like the perfect picture of the basilica, your perfect postcard picture of the basilica.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but you can't make a controversial, and yes, it is controversial, personal statement in the middle of a tourist area. I mean, what if somebody decided to build something like that in, you know, along between, you know, CN Tower and Skydome? Of course not. Even if it is private land. I don't think it's private land. I think it's city land. But still, there are just certain places for these things.
Well, and there's a way to do memorials, because you mentioned the CN Tower, and there's a memorial, a workers' memorial to the Chinese railway workers down there. And
which is near the railroad tracks.
Yes, of course. And it's completely in context. Some would say the memorial beside the church is in context. What I would like to see, and I don't know where it's going to happen in town, and I hope it does, the memorial to the anyone who spent time in a residential school, was abused in a residential school, took their own life because they spent time in a residential school and it messed them up to no end. Not to mention those that have been abused by priests over the years. Very, very well documented case in town not that long ago, going back historically.
Mm-hmm.
Where is their memorial? That I would support.
Yeah, and
in my opinion,
and this whole thing came up quite suddenly, which, you know, I don't want to call it a sneak attack, but I guess I just did. But I mean, that's kind of how it feels, and they were kind of sneaky about it rather than coming right out and saying this is something we're planning on doing. What does the community think?
I'm sure we'll be revisiting it,
no doubt. And we're gonna have to take a break here and play some ads and some music. You are, of course, listening to Open Source's Guelph. You're on CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph.
Yo, we sitting up in the studio
listening to some tunes at CFRU 93.3 FM.
Veronica sits in a favorite chair. They come with a regular pill, and they call her a name that they never get right, while telling her that she must sit still. But she always had a carefree mind of her own, with a devilish look in her eye, saying, "You can call me anything you like, but my name is Veronica." Do you suppose that waiting hands on eyes, Veronica is gone to hide? All the time she laughs at those who shout her name and steal her clothes. Veronica, Veronica. Oh, Veronica.
That was Veronica by Elvis Costello, the demo version from his relatively new album, Unfaithful Music. It's actually the soundtrack to a book. I think all books should probably have soundtracks. And anyway, that's a bit of an echo of what you'll read on the Spanner book, finally, on the weekend. So
that's good
a
tease.
Taste of what's to come there. So,
that's amazing.
A tease, yes, indeed. So,
And we were sort of teasing downtown issues before the musical break, although I'm probably more serious than our guest wants to get. So we're joined today by Marty Williams, who is the executive director of the Downtown Guelph Business Association. Marty, you're an old friend to campus. You worked with the co-op for a number of years.
Not the co-op.
Not the co-op.
No, I was the CSA president when they used to have such things. And
before I went co-op. Yeah.
My friend Nona Robinson was the very last. I was the third to last CSA president before they arranged themselves into something else.
Yeah, into a cooperative, yeah.
Yeah, and I worked on campus. I was the editor of the Ontarian, mm-hmm. which is the entertainment editor when Elvis Costello was a lad. And I was a lad.
There you go.
There you go. There's the connection.
Did he play here? Peter Clark Hall or something?
No, no.
That's a shame.
Elton John did. Billy Joel
That's
did.
That's right.
Elton
really?
The Ramones played at the Athletic Center one summer.
Shut 300 the front
people.
Door.
299 people and me and the Ramones. It was great.
That is awesome. We should do a whole show on this, but we asked Marty here to talk about downtown stuff because you are the executive director of the business association. I mean, that's quite the change from the student government. I mean, it's to do something with business in the title. The two shall meet unless you're a business student. But
well, no, you know, actually, it is. It's a funny thing. I tell people that being president of the student union was the best job training I had for this job, because really what I am is an association manager and trying to get the voice of the business and property owners in front of city council. So when you're the CSA president, you're talking to the university about advocacy, you know, making living conditions better for students. You want to give students some events and activities and provide some services. And that's exactly what we do as the Downtown Guelph Business Association. So it really isn't that far a leap to go from one to the other.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about specific issues. One piece of interesting news before the show, they dug up a piece of they're working on the Wilson Street Parkade right now, and they dug up a piece of the old Sleeman streetcar track.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but parking is key to what's going on downtown right now, isn't it? Because there has been a concern that there's not enough parking. There is a backlog of people looking for permits. So this is a long time in coming. So it must be something of a relief for you and the people you represent that finally there seems to be developments on this front.
Yeah, Wilson Street parking lot is going to be a good addition. The parking master plan has identified that we are short something in the neighborhood of 1,500 parking spots in the downtown, and we need to have them. And you know, the thing is, there isn't anybody taking up parking in downtown Guelph who isn't there for a reason. You either live there, you work there, you're going there to shop or to dine, to access services. And there's just not enough of it, any which way you look at it. And, you know, people say, why don't you just tell people to take public transit and things? But people forget that Guelph and downtown Guelph is a net importer of jobs. People come from all over the place. And if you lived in Wellington County, you couldn't, if you wanted to, even if you're willing to spend the extra time to take public transit. There is no public transit in the county. There's very poor connectivity between even Waterloo, Kitchener, and Guelph. There's none between Hamilton and Guelph. There's none between Fergus and the lower end Guelph. So we need to provide parking, or we're not going to have the sort of economic activity that we need. And everywhere else in the city understands that. Everywhere else in the city that has the room provides that. But we're in a shared parking environment in downtown, as it should be. The historical footprint doesn't allow for, when you redevelop the Petrie building, for instance, that's going on. There's no place to provide parking for any of the new users of all that new space above what used to be the Apollo 11. So where are those people going to go? How is the owner of that building going to be able to rent out that as office space or commercial space to anybody? There are 300 people on a waiting list for parking currently. There are offices that are currently vacant because they can't be rented out because there is no parking provided with them.
I was going to say that's an impediment because the city, before they built the new city hall, would rent space all over downtown, and a lot of that space hasn't had a new tenant since the new downtown, the new city hall opened, because there's no parking for people to open offices. And while the storefronts seem pretty full, usually seem pretty full, above them, some of those buildings, there's not much going on.
Yeah, and it's been, the history, post-Second World War, decline of downtowns all over the place. But, there's been some that have been so low value on the second and third story that they wouldn't even be rented out as low value apartments. They would just, the jewelry stores on Wyndham Street there, when they were bought by a new owner, I had a chance to tour through them. They have the HVAC system on the second and third floor in those buildings. It's so low value, they didn't even have to put it on the roof and use the second and third story for something that they could make money at, because there was no money to be made. But those things are changing. That's why parking, I talk about it, it's just like anything else. It's just like water, electricity, heat, air conditioning, whatever you want to call it. You could never rent out an office if you said it's a great place, a great location, just doesn't have any plumbing. You no wouldn't furnace, be able to do that. Yeah, it has no furnace, but it's great other than that. Great location, great view, but a little chilly. And
ladder to the second floor, right?
Yeah.
Before we leave parking, one of the things I will bring up is that this is kind of where the yin and the yang of downtown sort of come into play, because there are people who recognize the need from a business point of view, but there's a lot of people downtown, and I think we know the people we mean, the more progressive people who want less parking, they want fewer cars, they want maybe streets to be closed to cars.
In a world or in a city where you had a sufficient number of people, if you were downtown Toronto, downtown Ottawa, you certainly could do that. You could certainly have areas of town that were shut off. But I challenge anybody just to look at the sidewalks of downtown Guelph. They're plenty wide, and I'll make a deal with them. When those sidewalks are so full that people are sort of being pushed onto the roadway, when it looks like, more like Dundas Square on Yonge Street in Toronto, then we can talk about, no car days or removing cars and parking. And because that would, prove that. But it has never been the case that just eliminating parking creates a pedestrian paradise. Right. Or a bike and pedestrian paradise. It just doesn't work that way in a small town like this, in a small city like this. There is a good chunk of downtown Guelph that is the pedestrian realm. There is no shortage of that. Road diets, okay. lowering speed limits, I get. Shared spaces for bikes and cars and things through Wyndham Street and things. I think we should look at all those things. By road diets, I mean just taking a four-lane street like Wyndham and making it into a two-lane. But again, then you start talking about things like loading. And there are no back alleys. There are no other ways for those stores to receive goods. You see what happens on McDonnell Street. The trucks park in the center of the road and then they unload on other places. And it works. It's fine. But you have to recognize that we're working with a very a tight kind of environment for that. So there's a whole bunch of competing and sometimes contradictory interests.
Logistics. In terms of, since you brought it up, you know, the downtowns sort of losing their luster, one of the things that I've been researching, and it's mostly to do with something I'm working on for Politico, the podcast coming up about the Walmart protests, you know, up to 10 years ago when Walmart opened up at Woodlawn. And it just seems to me, you know, looking back at a lot of those articles, the worst case scenarios didn't happen. The downtown Guelph is still thriving. Is that because of anything you think Guelph does in particular, or is that because maybe Walmart, as it turned out, wasn't as big of a black hole as we thought it was going to be?
Well, I think there were two things with the anti-Walmart forces. One were some people who are just anti-Walmart and some people who are saying, well, the city has put planning into effect so that this is the location for that kind of store. And it was a bit disingenuous of Walmart to say that they were being shut out. They were being shut out from rezoning places that they wanted to be, which ultimately they did. Ultimately, they came in with the big stick and did that.
Right.
So there are two really different things. I think that we are we're seeing an upswing in historic downtowns across Ontario. Mm-hmm. I think the demographics are playing a role. I think empty nesters and affluent people who are downsizing and want to live in a more urban environment, happening all across Ontario, all across North America, where for the first time ever, the urban areas are increasing in population faster than the suburban areas. And that sort of flip has happened, that inversion has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're lucky. We have a good historic, a strong historic footprint in downtown Guelph. We are surrounded by some of the most affluent neighborhoods in Guelph. The leafy St. George's Exhibition Park, St. Acres Park neighbors, for whom downtown is their shopping destination for a lot of things, and certainly their cultural and dining destination. So they don't they're close by. So we have a lot of nice, I don't want to call them accidents, but we're in a good situation where we got lucky. So I don't know if Walmart holding off Walmart helped that, or if it didn't help it, if it was inevitable and it was just going to happen. What I tell people all the time about Walmart is that downtowns can never compete with Walmart or Amazon. We're not going to compete with Walmart or Amazon. What we have to do is we have to provide a different kind of value proposition. We have to say, you want to come downtown to go to the best shoe stores in town where people have been working for generations, where they know what they're doing. They know how to fit you. They know they have an eye that is different than the mass produced or the general. I totally get it, and I always tell this story. I say, you know, if you have a certain amount of money, you got three kids, you got to put winter boots on them that they're going to ruin in one season. You're a value shopper. You're going someplace where you're going to get some boots that are going to stand up for that year. The kids are going to outgrow them anyway, and you're looking at a place like Walmart. When you're coming downtown and you're looking for quality, you're looking for professional advice and experience, it's a totally different game. And that's the one we have. That's the realm we have to operate in. We have to have all kinds of different things, but they have to be local, unique, expert, and that they can't compete with us on.
So having said that, I think we all know budget time is coming up at council, and as sort of the ambassador to downtown, in terms of perhaps the immediate needs and what you'd like to see happen downtown that council has some kind of ability to enact or impose even, what are you looking at?
What I would hope for, what I think will happen are probably two different things. what I'm hoping is that we make some progress, you know, first of all, on parking and to make sure that those things stay front and center. We need to change the conversation with our elected officials from things that cost money to investments that have a payback. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge project in the Baker Street redevelopment that includes a new main branch library. And those things have proven time and time again in city after city to be investments. I always use Kitchener because they're right around the corner. They got $110 million over 10 years in a special levy that they used to redevelop a library, to improve the parking, to do downtown improvements of all kinds. And that leveraged something like $250, $275 million of private investment. And that assessment value has paid back, starting to pay back that $110 million that the people of Kitchener invested into their downtown. We need to have that kind of leadership. We need to have that kind of vision. I think currently we're not having that kind of conversation. We're having the conversation, everything's about cost.
Right.
If we spend money on the library, we can't spend money on the recreation center that people want to build in the South End. And that's not the way we should be looking at things. We should be looking at, there are things that cost money, there are things that make money. I want to see a South End Rec Center built. It's a great thing. It's an important investment in the health and well-being of the community. It makes everybody better, more prosperous, healthier. Your real estate values go up. There's nothing bad about it. But it's never going to pay back to the city coffers the way an investment in something like the Baker Street redevelopment would.
Right.
That is an actual, tangible, put money in, get money out investment. It's the place. Baker Street is the last great open space in downtown Guelph owned by the city that can solve a bunch of problems, get us a new library, contribute to the parking, bring more residents, more daytime use, mm-hmm. Conestoga College, YMCA. It's such a smart, good idea, and we need to find a way to get city council and the mayor to see that for what it is.
I think that's the big political concern, because you do have a lot of people who will say that the council, even at its makeup right now, spends a lot of time and money focused on downtown, and they mean that as a criticism.
It's not true. I mean, if you just look at – but it's not true. If you just look at the numbers, if you look at where the city spends money on – and it's all well spent. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure repairs, road repairs, all these other things that the city is spending money on, most of the money on, most of the policing, most of everything is happening not in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just factually untrue to say that the city spends money on downtown. Downtown has a focus in a way that other things don't. If there was a road project, I talk about the Wellington Street infrastructure. Mm-hmm. On Wellington, they found some, this was last year or the year before, found some barrels full of contamination, some really nasty stuff. The cost overrun just to get rid of that stuff, they didn't expect to find that. But nobody thinks, oh, here's another boondoggle. It's just the way things go sometimes, right? If that happened downtown, it'd be like, oh, well, you know. People have this certain focus on downtown, and it's lovely sometimes because people are proud of it and they're concerned about it and they want it to be great because they have civic pride, and that's the distinction. You know,
mm-hmm.
on your card for this radio program, you have a picture of downtown Guelph. You don't have a picture of Stone Road Mall,
Walmart.
Nothing or Walmart. You don't have a picture of Claire Road and Gordon. Nobody thinks that any of that. It's all those things are fine. The mall's fine. The big box fine. I have no quarrel or qualm with them. But we know in our heart of hearts that when we talk about something that's Guelph, you want to represent Guelph. You're showing a picture of the Basilica. You're mm-hmm. showing downtown. You're showing City Hall. That's, you know, that's Guelph at its heart. Literally and figuratively. And so because people care about it, there's a focus on it. But it's simply not true to say that most of the attention in the city, monetarily wise, goes to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Monetarily wise, is that a word?
Is now.
It is not. We're inventing.
Yeah, we're not the grammar police here. And if you look back at our archives, it will prove it.
Oh my goodness.
As we're kind of running out of time, sadly, but if there's like maybe. I'm not sure I want to phrase, like, is there a best-kept secret downtown, like we're a travel show or something, and this is Lifestyles of Rich and Famous? But, I mean, you are an authority on what's happening downtown. It's a necessity of your job. But so in terms of what's going on downtown, new shops, new things.
The great stories, I mean, you hear them. You know what I really like, and I'm really proud of what downtowns, our downtown and downtowns across Ontario do, is they're real incubators for startup entrepreneurs. There's new stores opening up all the time. There's two new ones on Quebec Street, a ethically sourced children's clothing store called Fallowfields on Quebec Street. There's the new vegan burger place called Boone Burger. There's a new flower store in Quebec. Quebec Street is blooming all over the place. And the two big projects that are going on now, the Petrie Building. Now, remember, the Petrie Building had the Apollo 11, and for 85, 90 years was boarded up. You see old pictures from the 30s and the 40s, and it was boarded up, the upper stories of that. And it's being redeveloped. Mm-hmm. It's being made accessible. It's being redeveloped. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be functional. It's going to attract more people. The Acres Furniture redevelopment that's 10 Carden is doing.
That's right.
My goodness. I mean, if those aren't signs, read the tea leaves and see that people are voting with their money. They're making investments. And in the case of 10 Carden, the public is agreeing with them. Their funding is coming from all over the city and people contributing to and investing in that project. And it's going to make a difference in downtown. It's going to be great for the city, and looking forward to more and more of those things happening.
Very good. That was a great pitch. Not that apparently downtown needs the help. I'm just kidding. But
we want everybody.
We
to
want
come
everybody.
There is something for everybody. We want everybody to come downtown and see the new things. Go to your favorite things. But it's. I'm proud to work there because it really is the city center, and we have all the services that the county provides, that the city provides. We have all the shops and restaurants and the Storm hockey team. We have it's just a fantastic place, and it's getting better all the time.
Marty, if people want to get in touch with you and talk more downtown stuff, how can they find you?
Marty@downtownguelph.com is the best way to get to me.
Mm-hmm. You're a Twitter man.
I am.
What's your Twitter handle? That's what I'm getting at.
My Twitter is at Williams Marty. And I'm a Twitter man. Well, thank you very much, Adam. I didn't know that was a pitch for telling them your address.
Well, it's a social world. We like to be social. Thank you, Marty, for coming on the show. We appreciate
having
you.
Anytime. We could talk downtown till, and then we could talk about the Ramones again.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Yeah,
yes,
the CD. No worries there.
Yeah,
it's in the car.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
All right. Well, stay tuned next week for the Ramones Hour. I'm just kidding. Open Sources Guelph. You can connect with us at our website, opensourcesguelph.com. Open Sources Newswire on Facebook @OS_Guelph, because we are all Twitter people here. And you can hear past episodes of Open Sources Guelph on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, and you can subscribe through iTunes. Speaking of Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can go to my political blog at guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Twitter, Scotty Hertz on Facebook, spanderbook.wordpress.com. We'll have a thing. And I may change my name to Scotty Ramone before the weekend's up. Thank you, Guelph.
So tune in next week to see if that happens. And stay tuned right now for DJ Sounds Good to Me. She'll be here at the top of the hour here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. As for Open Sources Guelph, we will be back here next week, Thursday at 5 p.m.